Good to be here, folks. Good to have all of you. Good to have you. Father, I pray that you'd give me the gift of teaching now this morning. Give me wisdom, Father, in your word. Pray for every soul in the house. I pray that you bless them. Give them a heart that's receptive, ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Daniel 12 with me this morning, please. Daniel 12 in one hand. And then I'm going to take you to Matthew 4 and verse 5. Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael... Anytime you see Michael show up in the Bible, put Israel next to it, because he stands for Israel. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of Israel, the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Just put that in the tribulation period, because that's exactly where it belongs. Michael will fight for Israel. Hold your place there. Let me show you Revelation 12. Revelation chapter number 12. And verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more. This is a direct confrontation between Michael and Satan. Now, folks, Michael is not the Lord Jesus Christ. There are churches out there and denominations teaching that, been teaching it for a long time. He is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Michael is the only named archangel in the Bible, which puts him in a category above all the other angels, but he's still not God. The scripture says that in the case of Moses, when he had died, Michael durst not bring a railing accusation against him, against Moses, over the body of, against Satan over the body of Moses, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And Satan wanted Moses' body because he wanted to make a monument out of it and have them worshiping Moses instead of God. Michael is not God. Michael is a creature, just like all the rest of us, but a powerful one. So in the book of Daniel, chapter number 12, and verse number 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." This is not the rapture. This is a resurrection. Verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel..." Now his name, Daniel, is a conjunction of two Hebrew words, Dan and Elohim, or El, which is the short for Elohim. It literally means El will judge. The word Dan means judge. So it means God will judge, or God judges. "Therefore, Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end." It needs to be understood, too, that there are many things that I personally firmly believe that apply to the tribulation saints that are enigmas to us today and will remain enigmas until that time comes when God rolls back the curtain, for they will need it. They will need it. Many of us today like to learn a lot of things for novelty's sake, to simply say we've learned it, but they will need it for survival. So here in verse number 4, "Shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro," now watch carefully, "and knowledge shall be increased." And that increase of knowledge has been exponential in the last 150 years. We entered the age of rocketry and DNA and all the rest of that we take for granted today, cell phones. Imagine what your great-grandmother would think if you handed her a cell phone. She wouldn't have a clue. She wouldn't know what she was looking at. And what do you think that before Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, what do you think they would have even thought? They didn't even know what a phone was, much less a cell phone. And so we take it for granted, though. And you have in your hand an enormous amount of technology. And that technology is part of knowledge shall increase. And it has increased. But now here's the thing about it. There are two sources of knowledge. Two sources. I'm talking about plain, simple knowledge. We're not talking about wisdom. We're talking about knowledge. In other words, how do you fix something? How's it made? What's it based upon? That kind of knowledge. The knowledge that is necessary for constructing and maintaining and communication and all of that. Two sources. One is God. The other is Satan. A lot of people have the erroneous idea that Satan can't provide knowledge like that, but he certainly can. For example, the book of Enoch, which is not divine scripture, it is an apocryphal book. But the book of Enoch was included in some of the canon of scripture and some of the denominations in the first couple hundred years after Christ. The book of Enoch is purported to be about Enoch, the prophet, who prophesied the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And the book of Enoch talks about the fallen angels. It talks about the product of the fallen angels, the giants in the earth and all those days. It gets into some detail that's not in the scripture. I warn you. The reason I mention these things to you is simply for your knowledge's sake, but never depend upon them for authority. The only authority is the Word of God, the 66 books you have in your hand. But the book of Enoch does talk about advanced knowledge that angels brought down with them when they came into mankind. Enoch is not the only one that talks about things like that. Atlantis, for example, that Plato talked about. In Atlantis, they had advanced knowledge far beyond what their peers of the time had. And other places where knowledge is advanced. For example, in World War II, if you do any reading about the history of World War II, you'll find that the Allies defeated Nazi Germany just in time. Just in time. Our fighters in P-51 Mustangs encountered jets. When they flew over Germany, jet aircraft, which is superior in speed to a propeller-driven plane, can only go so fast. Physics won't let it go any faster. And a P-51 was an outstanding fighter jet, fighter plane. But they encountered jets, and these jets were produced by Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany had produced the V-2 rocket. They sent it out over London, bombed the people up there, and killed thousands. Nazi Germany was working on saucers. They were working on a propulsion system that allowed the vehicle to literally stand still and rise above the ground, like levitation. Nazi Germany was experimenting in medicine that the Allies, after World War II, borrowed their notes, mind you, and used some of the experimentation they had done and used it in advancing medical knowledge in this country. In plain words, it appears that a lot of things in Nazi Germany were light years ahead of the rest of the world. Nazi Germany, though, this is very important to understand, was deep, deep, deep into the occult world. Very deep into it. All the leadership of the Nazis were deeply involved in the occult world. And Wellsville is Castle of Wellswell. I can't pronounce it too good, but it was Himmler's place for the SS. And he would take his SS troops in there, the officers, and they would swear an oath and stand in a circle around an area like King Arthur's court when they sat around when they had the table there of King Arthur. And they would be initiated into an occult ritual. And they would receive power and knowledge by doing this. And so can Satan do such a thing as that? Is there any power? Is there any knowledge to be tapped into if you sell your soul to Satan? Absolutely. You better believe it. And you live in the generations about to see all of it come to pass. Look over here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 5. Matthew 4, 5. I want you to notice the reading carefully. Go to this companion passage in Luke 4, 9. Matthew 4, 5 and Luke 4, 9. It's always helpful a lot of times to take what Matthew says and then take what Luke says or Mark says or John and put them all together. And you'll be able to get a fuller picture of a specific incident. In Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." Now notice carefully the wording. The devil taketh and setteth. Now go to the book of Luke chapter number 4 and verse 9. Luke 4:9. "And he," Satan, "brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence." The wording is not that he led him to the top of that. The wording is that he took him to the top of that. And you can look up the words in Greek and study the meaning of them, and you'll find out it literally meant that he carried him up to these places. Now, the Lord Jesus could have stopped that at any moment, but he came as a man to defeat Satan on his own ground, his own territory, eyeball to eyeball, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God as a submissive servant of the Lord in Isaiah chapter number 42. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, everything he did by the power of the Holy Spirit in absolute, complete obedience to the Father. He was the servant of the Lord while he was here. He was not the second person of the Godhead exercising divine power. Everything he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit that you have within you. This is why he said, "Greater works shall you do also than what I have done." The reason we don't do greater works is because God did not give him the Spirit by measure like he does us. I've never met a man in my lifetime that could handle the full measure of the Spirit of the living God. Have you? Only one. But the point is this. Satan is a powerful being, and he was able to take our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus willingly, of course, take him to the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and then when he did this, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He showed him the power of the majesty. He showed him the progression of history. He took him forward in history and all the things that was coming upon the earth, and he said, "All of this is mine," and it was his, because he's the God of this world. Adam had abdicated the throne when he sinned against God. Satan said, "All of this is mine, and I can give it to whomsoever I will." The Lord never rebuked him as if he were a liar. He accepted it. It was a fact. He could. But he said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The kingdom is the Lord's, and the kingdom will be his on this earth. And he'll come and take the kingdom, and he'll come and take it with power and majesty and authority. And when he comes, he'll be on a white horse as a man of war. He'll come and take what is rightfully his. But until that day comes, the kingdoms of this world are right now under the power of Satan, the wicked one. And the Lord Jesus Christ has called us as his bride out of this world, out from this world. Now, I've tried to show you how in a couple of places that there is a powerful thing going on in the spirit world, very powerful, and that there's knowledge there. This knowledge either comes from God or it comes from Satan. And I gave you just a short cursory example of Nazi Germany in World War II. It goes much deeper than that. They experimented with animals. They had a zoo over there that they did all kinds of experimentation with. They got deep into all kinds of things. And it's amazing what they did. But after World War II, in what's called Operation Paperclip. How many's ever heard of that? A lot of you have. You're well read. Operation Paperclip was when we brought back from Germany some of the best minds they had. Among them was Werner von Braun, who was a rocket scientist, who was the one who was personally involved in the development of the V-2 rocket that they rained down upon England, killing thousands. But the United States wanted a rocket program. They didn't want somebody ahead of them, like obviously Germany was. They wanted their brains, and so they brought them into the States. And Werner von Braun was personally led the exploration, the research and development of rocketry in America. And he was personally involved in landing a man on the moon in 1969. So there's no question about that, that the United States used him, Operation Paperclip. But when World War II was over, thousands of Nazis in Germany began to flee the country. Now, you all know about the Nuremberg trials. Nuremberg is where they had the huge displays. A million people, or more than a million people, would show up. This vast sea of people. And it would show Hitler marching down through the center and going up on the stage. All right, that was Nuremberg. Well, they held the trial in Nuremberg as a witness and a testimony against what had once been Nazi Germany. Now, the people who were tried at Nuremberg were former Nazi high officials. The highest, of course, was the second in command to Hitler. He was a fighter pilot in World War I. No question, he was a courageous man. No doubt about it. But he was in charge of the Luftwaffe. He was the man who was responsible for helping what's his name implement the killing of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Jews. What was his name?
Goring.
Hermann Goring. Hermann, the man. That's what that means. Hermann, the man. Goring. And they tried them, and they were going to execute Goring, but somebody slipped a cyanide pill to him, committed suicide just a few hours before he was going to hang. But they hung them, but a lot of them got away. A lot of them got away by the rat lines. How many know what a rat line is? Amen. A lot of you know what a rat line is. The Roman Catholic Church was personally involved in expediting the movement of these Nazi criminals out of Germany into Argentina, various places around the world, to cover up, give them places to hide, change their identity. It was called the rat lines. And all you have to do is just do a survey, Google rat lines, and you'll pull that up. And there's a lot of information there. When the war was over, though, 1947, Admiral Richard Byrd, along with Chester Nimitz, who was the father of the nuclear navy, father of the submarine nuclear navy, Admiral Nimitz. We're talking about high-ranking naval officers, very honorable men. Richard Byrd was an explorer that went to the North Pole. They went down to South America, Antarctica, down to Antarctica, and they were engaged in what's called Operation High Jump. Now, how many of you ever heard of Operation High Jump? It's been a while. I covered it in here. I talked about it some time back. Operation High Jump. Operation High Jump was supposed to be about exploration, finding this and that, and so forth, coal deposits, and what have you. That was all for public consumption. The real reason for them going into the Antarctica, which is the largest. For example, Antarctica is larger than the North America, United States of America, and Europe put together. It's a huge body of land, essentially wild, unexplored. All that's lying down there, and probably to this day, a lot of it is still wild and unexplored. And of course, one of the reasons, because of the harshness of the climate. But in any event, in 1947, over 4,000 troops, led by Admiral Richard Byrd, Admiral Chester Nimitz, and there was another admiral involved in it, went on this expedition called Operation High Jump to the Antarctica. Everything I've ever read says that the reason that they went down there was to try to find what could have been hidden Nazi bases from World War II. That the Nazis had, the Germans had hedged their bets and had created some places down there where they could hide some of this high technology that they had been working on before the end of World War II. Now, it wouldn't surprise me a bit that the Germans are smart people, and they undoubtedly had some backup, and if they saw maybe the war was turning against them, that they had made some preparation, provision like that. But what happened when they got down there is the story this morning. Admiral Richard Byrd wrote a diary. Now, I'll say sensibly he wrote the diary. I'll cover that in a moment. There is a diary. Let me put it that way. There is a diary that exists that is supposed to be the diary of Admiral Richard Byrd. All right? This diary is supposed to be by his hand. There is no way we can prove the provenance of this thing one way or the other. There are those who say it is an absolute fraud. There are those who say it is absolutely genuine. If you take it as genuine, it will blow your socks off. If you take it as a fraud, then it immediately begs the question, then who did make it and why did they make it? All right? Here are some 4 points that I want you to notice about Operation High Jump. Now, let me tell you how relative this is. This is very relative to where you sit right now in 2015. Right now. It's more relative right now than it was a few years ago when I first covered this. We're living, folks, in the mantle of the great deception is falling. It's falling. It's coming down right now. Not coming. It's here. Here are five things that I want you to notice about Operation High Jump. They encountered UFOs. They encountered saucers, flying saucers. Number two, they went down there, as I said, on the surface of it to explore and find oil deposits or whatever they might have said. But the bottom line was that from everything I've read, they went down there looking for Nazi bases, hidden bases, things of that nature. And number three, the issue of a hollow earth comes up. How many's ever heard of a hollow earth? Somebody says that's ridiculous. Well, there's two ways to look at that. I'm not saying the earth is hollow, but there's two ways to look at it. Where is hell located? In the heart of the earth. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, now, preacher, when they go to hell, they don't take their physical body. They go down there as spirit beings, their soul. I agree. I grant you. I agree with that. But if you look in Luke chapter number 16, when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell and he saw, who did he see? He saw Abraham, and who did he see in his bosom? Lazarus. And what was between them? A great gulf. Now, you know, what do you need to contain a spirit? What kind of security? Makes you wonder if there may be more going on. I won't dismiss it. I won't say this morning I believe in hollow earth. I won't say that I don't believe in one. I'm the kind of person that leaves his mind open till I'm proven one way or the other. In my own mind and in my own heart, that the position I'm on is either wrong or God wants to lead me on to further knowledge in the thing. It could be that it's not anywhere near as big as some say, but I want to move along. I don't get stuck on one thing. How many of you know that James Forrestal was the first Secretary of Defense of the United States? How many even heard of James Forrestal? Most of you haven't. He was the first Secretary of Defense of the United States, and they say that when he was in Bethesda Naval Hospital, that he committed suicide. Suicide is a very convenient thing. A lot of people have been dispatched under suicide. It can be very convenient to get rid of someone. But there's an awful lot of people out there that do not believe that James Forrestal committed suicide. They believe he was murdered. Say, why was he murdered, preacher? That's the question. Good question. That fits in with what we're going to be talking about. There are those who believe that Admiral Richard Byrd was murdered. After Operation High Jump, these men wanted to talk. They wanted to talk about what they'd seen, what they found, where they'd been, all this stuff. But of course, Admiral Byrd, being an admiral in the military, was ordered to shut up and not say anything. So it was only later that his diary came to was exposed, and people began to understand what was said in it. So now, the last thing is that this diary, this Admiral Richard Byrd's diary, the reason I put so much emphasis on that this morning is because of what it says. Because of what it says. It is a profound thing. It will literally blow your mind. Now, Wernher von Braun was a German scientist. He was a rocket scientist. No doubt, his credentials are impeccable when it comes to his ability. He was head and shoulders above about anything else around. They wanted that man, and they got that man under Operation Paperclip. Before Wernher von Braun died, he gave an interview. And here's what he said. Now, the authority for this, I'll give you the authority for it. You can double check me. But this is important that you understand what this man said. Here's the authority for it. The authority is B.J. Booth, who published a book May the 1st, 2005, entitled, Is E.T. Here? Extraterrestrial. This comes from the Truth Seeker website. Now, I'm just going to read you a little bit about what von Braun says. Now, remember who we're talking about. One night, McClelland, and von, I'm just going to pick up in the middle of the narrative here. One night, McClelland and von Braun left the Cocoa Beach Ramada Inn and met in a back patio, giving McClelland a chance to ask the scientist a couple of questions privately. McClelland told von Braun that he was aware the group that von Braun had led was located not too far from the site of the alleged Roswell crash of 1947. Now remember, that's a big deal, this Roswell crash of 47. Now bear with me, I'm going to put this stuff together for you here in a minute. The group was launching V-2 rockets at the White Sands testing range. McClelland states that von Braun's eyebrows raised when he asked him the following questions. Question. Did the Roswell incident in fact happen? Was an alien craft recovered along with alien bodies? Did you have a chance to go to the crash site? Von Braun lit a cigarette, thought for a second, then began to discuss the crash openly. McClelland vowed not to discuss von Braun's remarks with anyone. McClelland kept the vow, and only after von Braun's death did he put in writing the amazing facts he heard that night. Dr. von Braun explained how he and unnamed associates had been taken to the crash site after the bulk of the military personnel had left the scene. They did a quick once-over the site, von Braun stated. He related how the exterior of the craft was not metal as we know it, but appeared to be made of something biological like skin. McClelland's only thought at the time was that he was being told the craft was made of something alive. And yes, there were alien bodies which were being kept in a medical tent near the UFO. The beings were small, very frail, reptilian in nature. Von Braun compared their skin to rattlesnakes that he and his group had encountered at White Sands. Von Braun was puzzled by the nature of the debris. The material was very thin, aluminum-colored, similar to chewing gum wrapping. According to the scientists, the description of the craft's interior was bizarre. It was very bare of instrumentation, as if the creatures in the craft were of a single unit. McClelland relates that he left with his head buzzing from the shocking statements made by von Braun. He found it difficult to not tell any of his colleagues about what he'd been told. It was like finding a treasure and wanting to tell everyone you knew about it. However, McClelland kept his vow to von Braun, who died on June the 15th, 1977. The information was released publicly in the book, Is E.T. Here?, published May the 1st, 2005. These amazing facts only verify what we already believe. There was a UFO crash near Roswell, New Mexico, July 47, with alien bodies, and this fact has been denied by the United States government for almost 60 years. Now, here's a rocket scientist. Okay? Rocket scientist. Here's a high-ranking officer in the Navy, Admiral Richard Byrd. Okay? We've got a rocket scientist who says he was taken to the site and saw alien bodies and that the United States government has been covering up what happened in 1947. Here is a admiral in the United States Navy, and I'm going to read to you an excerpt from his diary that gives this incredible story about how he was taken into the earth, while there received communication from superior beings and then allowed to come back on the surface of the earth. And then later, from his own memory, he wrote the diary. Now, let's put two and two together. The United States government, no doubt, knows a whole lot more than it's telling you. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. It begs the question, if they do know a whole lot more than they're telling you, then what you have been told, no doubt, is probably designed for a certain purpose. That there's coming something that's going to be made public that absolutely is going to fit in with the final deception of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something is coming to planet Earth. We have a pope right now in the Northern Hemisphere, down in Cuba, that has been meeting with Castro and riding through the cities, and the people are just thronging him. And this man, as I've said to you time and again, has already mentioned more than once about E.T., about aliens, and about how that they are our brothers in Christ, and how that they may be superior to us, and that they may never have sinned. And that they may be coming to earth with a message that trumps what the Bible says. In other words, it's a further revelation from God, and the Bible is antiquated, it's old, archaic, anachronistic, out the door with it. And we need this new message from these beings in space. And so when they come, they're going to enlighten us further on what we need to know. Now I begin to think of myself, what in the world's going on here? How many times now, how many of you, this is the first time you've ever heard me teach on any of this stuff? I've said to you time and time and time and time and time again, this is demonic, folks. Okay, I want to clear that up again with you. This is from the spirit world, it's demonic, but I tried to show you piecemeal how. That just because it's of the spirit world and demonic doesn't mean it cannot materialize. And it does not mean that it cannot leave something material in its wake. It does not mean that it doesn't have power to move things about, material things. It is certainly demonic. Admiral Byrd is shown here flying a... I've had a cough now. Somebody told me it was the plague, and I said, oh, I'm not sure about that. I'll take that to church. Some kind of a cold I've had. But listen to this. Admiral Byrd died... Thank you, brother. Died in 1956. This was just after he finished his private diary about which he was sworn to secrecy by the United States Navy. The notes in that diary indicated that his seaplane exploratory journey to the North Pole went off course and entered a cavity in the earth at the North Pole. This information about a hollow earth is an astonishing account of a truly amazing encounter. Now, these are supposed to be the words of Admiral Byrd. Quote, it is in fact too beautiful and wondrous to describe. These are supposed to be his own words. He writes by his own memory and says, from this point I write all the following events here from memory. It defies the imagination, would seem all but madness if it had not happened. Remember now, I'm not saying Admiral Byrd wrote this. We cannot prove the provenance of it. We can't trace it back to its origin. It could be, it could not be. But listen carefully to what he says. I'll only read just a few excerpts from it. He was taken in. His plane was taken control of. He no longer controlled it, couldn't fly it. Someone else was flying it, landed it. These people took him in to a master. The master replied that he is in the inner world of the earth. Our interesting rightly begins just after your race exploded the first atomic bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. So this being, this master that is talking to Admiral Byrd, says the reason... we brought you here is because we want to communicate to you our concern about what's happening to mankind on the surface of the earth. And I'm going to communicate that to you. He said it was right after you exploded the first atomic bombs. It was at that alarming time we sent our flying machines to your surface world to investigate what your race had done. That is, of course, past history now, my dear Admiral, but I must continue on. You see, we have never interfered before in your race's wars and barbarity, but now we must. For you have learned to tamper with a certain power that is not for man, namely that of atomic energy. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. Our emissaries have already delivered messages to the powers of your world, and yet they do not heed. Now you have been chosen to be witness here that our world does exist. Listen carefully. You see, our culture and science is many thousands of years beyond your race. Now, did you get that? Let's go back and put it together. Admiral Byrd is flying this aircraft. Something takes hold of it. It takes him down into the earth, takes him to a landing spot, lands his aircraft. Once it's landed, this creature takes the admiral and says, "Now I'm going to take you to my master." He takes him to his master, and the master has a message for him. He says, "You've been chosen because of your integrity, because of the kind of man you are, the fact that people respect you. You've been chosen for us to give you a message that we want you to take back to the people living on the surface of the earth. And that message is this, that we have been watching your development and evolution." This is Darwin. "We've been watching your development, and we had hands off until you exploded these two atomic bombs." And that had just happened. August the 6th, 1945, Nagasaki, or Hiroshima. August the 9th, 1945, Nagasaki. Tens of thousands of people died in 1945. This is 47, just happened. "We have been watching you, and now you have crossed the line. You have now developed atomic energy, and you, the implied, are capable of wiping mankind from the face of the earth. We are intervening. We are giving you a message. We want you to take that message back to the people on the surface of the earth and let them know that we will not tolerate you destroying yourselves on this earth." Because apparently, one of the reasons is we live on it too, or in it. And we. Now, folks, who do you think's talking? This is a demon. This is a demon telling Admiral Byrd, you know, "You have evolved. We have evolved far further than you have. We are a vastly superior race. Here's evolution." Would they buy it on the surface of the earth? In a heartbeat. Because 9/10 of all the science on this earth is steeped in Darwinism. And I've told you before, when these little green men or whatever they are supposed to be show up from outer space, they're supposed to come down here and they're supposed to be vastly superior to us with a message of salvation for us, and they have come to rescue us from ourselves. That we are killing ourselves. I'll stop for just a moment. President Obama has entered into a horrible agreement with Iran. I hope you understand that. They make no bones about it over there. The Ayatollahs they're saying we're going to destroy America, we're going to destroy Israel. They've never stopped saying that. They're going to continue saying that. And President Obama has entered into an agreement with them that in a little over 10 years they'll be able to develop their own nuclear weapon. Of course, they're not going to wait 10 years. Because one of the provisions of this thing is that they can do that they can go ahead and continue the development the way it is right now, and nobody's going to stop them. Because as far as the monitoring of what's going on, there's no real system of monitoring set up. But here's the bottom line. Israel has atomic weapons. They do. No, everybody knows that. Israel has what's called the Samson option. Everybody knows that. The Samson option is, if you come to destroy us, we will pull this place down on top of your head. In other words, if you send nuclear weapons against us from Tehran, we will turn Tehran into a sea of glass. And we'll do the same thing with Syria, and we'll do the same thing with Lebanon, and we'll do the same thing with anybody that comes to destroy us. There may not be much of us left, but this world will turn into a living hell. And they want them to understand that. They want them to understand that. Now, before anybody gets judgmental, what do you think the United States of America would do if 300 ICBMs had just been launched from Moscow? Or 500 with megaton warheads? And one was aimed for New York, and one was aimed for Philadelphia, and one was aimed for Chicago, and one was aimed for Oak Ridge, and one was aimed for Los Angeles. And they were raining down on top of our head. Would anybody over here push a button and send them back that way? Well, of course you would. In a heartbeat. When it comes to war and survival, folks, it's not a game and it's not a joke. And that's where we are today. We are at the verge of we could have atomic bombs exploding. It could happen. It could happen at any time. It could happen at any time. And when it does happen, folks, if God doesn't intervene, there won't be much left on the face of the earth. Yes, sir.
The attitude of the military has been changed. The international defensive struggle. Very well what you said had happened up until Obama, the military we had in place. But now, there would be so much hesitation for crisscrossing command. Whether they have removed people, placed the inhabitants in there, our retaliation would be minimal, say the least now. Those folks wasn't for us.
Well, you know, that may be so. All it takes is one Trident submarine, one of them. And Putin knows this, so does China, so does all the rest of them. That would do enormous damage. One Trident submarine. It's unbelievable. The first bomb that exploded over Hiroshima was the equivalent of 15,000 tons of TNT. 15,000. Little boy. Fat Man was exploded 3 days later. It was the equivalent of 20,000 tons of TNT. Now they don't measure them in thousands of tons. Now they measure them in megatons. Millions of tons of TNT. And now they use something like a bomb that went off in Hiroshima or Nagasaki to trigger these bombs that they've got developed today. It's unbelievable at the firepower that's out there. All it takes is one nutball pushing a button at the wrong time, and you could be in big trouble. Yes, sir.
I work on nuclear weapons in the early 80s in the Air Force, and this is a place in Arkansas. And just the inventory that we had was amazing in one base. And those were 2.1 megatons.
51 megaton?
2.1
megaton. And I was reading this yesterday, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm certainly no authority on nuclear technology. But the first bomb the first bomb, little boy, was what is that metal called? It was uranium, 235. The second one was plutonium. Two different kinds of bombs. All right. The article said that only about 17% of the actual material exploded within the first bomb, which was equal to about 1 gram. 1 gram. 1 gram. 1 gram. When it was opened up and the power and energy released from 1 gram literally wiped that city from the face of the earth. The second one, plutonium, is a man-made thing. 2 pounds. 2 pounds exploded. 2 pounds. And obliterated Nagasaki. Every time I hear that, you know what I think about? The one who upholds all things by the word of his power. He keeps it all together. It says that the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. This whole universe, folks, is held together by the power of God. That if he didn't hold it together, can you imagine what kind of an explosion you'd have? Man is just now cracking into that. And this is what's got them so upset over there at CERN, Switzerland. Because now they've cranked that thing up, and I think they're about 100% now with it, and stuff's starting to happen. And this is what's got Stephen Hawking so worried, because what they're doing, they're busting these things apart at a level they never have before. And they're afraid what's liable to happen. Hawking is, and others, and rightfully so. Let me read what this so-called spirit being said. You see, our culture and science is many thousands of years beyond your race. That's Darwin. Right into it. That's Darwin. That's the fantasy world of evolution. That's the mind-numbing lie of evolution. Folks, did you know that most of the people out here don't believe in evolution or one way or the other? They don't care. As long as they get along to go along. They go along to get along. That's all they care about. A six pack in sex, the average American man, that's all he cares about. He's not interested in this argument here. That means nothing to him. It doesn't mean a thing to him. You could ask the average American male right now who's running for president. Name me five Republican candidates right now for president. Five. The first one to drop out was Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. Okay. We give you Donald Trump. Give me four more. The average American could no more than that. They might be able to get you to it. They might get Carly Fiorina because she's been in the news lately. Okay. They might get her. They might get the one that went up there to Kentucky. What's his name? Huckabee. He's a good man. Huckabee's a good man, former governor of Arkansas. They might get that. But to name five, most Americans couldn't. There's two right now in the Democrat Party. You've got Her Highness Hillary. And then you've got Bernie Sanders, the socialist. I mean, he's making it plain. He believes the government ought to pay for everything. But then you've got a fellow named O'Malley. You've heard of him? Then you've got the Vice President of the United States. Then you've got others that are beginning to move around and decide they may want to get into this thing. I beg of you in the name of Jesus, when you go to the polls, if we're still here, and I hope we're not. I hope we're long gone. But you can see what decades of putting liberals into the office has done. The Supreme Court of the United States of America has destroyed marriage in this nation, as we understand it. The ramifications of that are unbelievable, is what is going to happen now in the next decades, as to what that bunch up there did in Washington, D.C. In the name of Jesus, I pray that when you go to the polls and you go into that booth and you vote, that you understand that you're voting for the future of your children, the future of this nation. What's it going to be like 10, 20 years down the road? Presidents pick Supreme Court justices. That's a big deal. They're the ones who pick them. They have to be approved by the Senate. You know, Robert Bork, for example. How many has ever heard of Bork? They've got a term now called to be borked. What does borked mean? That means that they put you under scrutiny, lie on you, do anything else they can to get rid of you. And he didn't make it. He didn't pass the test. And so Robert Bork didn't make it. But you can see what's in there now. You can see where we are. All right, I've run out of time. I've been kind of jumping around here a little bit with some of this. I wanted to cover a lot more ground with you. I'll read this, and then I'll come to a close. April 10th, 2012, Michael Sala, Ph.D. Pentagon plans for alien invasion exist, according to military professor. So the Pentagon is locked and loaded. They're ready for an alien invasion. Now, I got to explain all that. I've got to get you to understand that what's on the surface is not necessarily the way it really is. Because when they come across to you like, well, we're watching out for the aliens, we're doing this, we're doing that. Truth of the matter is, what do they mean? What are they really doing? What's really going on? Yes, sir.
Well, I mentioned Iran and a lot of men developing nuclear weapons. Were you alluding to this may be the door to which that group of the spirit world could come in and say, okay, you're about to do it again?
Absolutely. That's the direct connection. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. We're here to save you from yourselves. Because if we don't, you're going to destroy yourself. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You say you're here where Iran is wanting to do their own inspection or self-authorization.
Well, it'd be cost-saving, be cost-effective if they did it. I mean, they're there, so you wouldn't have to pay. You wouldn't have to pay airfare for these scientists to go over there and check them out. Just let them check themselves. Woo! Yes, sir. Uh huh. No, I didn't know about that. Yeah. Okay. No, I didn't know that. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust them.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been thinking about this when you usually when they have a name for a mission, it means something. You know, Operation Paperclip.
Exactly.
You know, Paperclip holds together papers of good information.
Mm-hmm.
So Paperclip, you know, they went and brought back the information, the technology. So that makes sense, Operation High Jump, though, it went to the bottom of the earth. They went to the south. They went under. They went down. But they call it Operation High Jump. That don't make sense.
Well, could it be that the way they see it is that this is what you see, this is what we're doing, but we're fixing to take a big leap forward?
Right. But then, if they thought that, though, they knew it before they went down there.
Sure they did. They knew what they were going down there for.
I believe the government and the military has been purposely deceiving everybody in this country that they know exactly what's going on with UFOs and they've got an agenda with it, and when the time comes, they're going to bring it out. I believe that. That's what I believe.
The Russians have, I don't know where they got it, how they got videos of that incident, that battle. And,
Hi, Jim.
Yeah. You can watch it on there, it's all in Russian. But they, you can read the captions. But they all talk about it. Everyone else talks about it. But we're the most ignorant people on the face of the earth as far as what's going on in the world. We're so dumbed down in this country that all we trust this ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. We think that that's the only news in the world. And let me tell you something, you get online and start looking at what the other countries are saying, we're in a world mess. I mean, we're being deceived.
Yes, we are.
What Pastor's doing is informing you what's actually going on in the world.
Yes.
And the following of these teachings is astounding to me because they use a lot of this stuff on the internet and they show videos of what's going on with him narrating on these lessons. But people need to wake up in this country. We've got a Muslim president. He's filled our cabinet with Muslims. He put a man over a military that's a known homosexual. We're in a world of hurt, and judgment's coming to America. And you better wake that up, because if you're not born again, you're all doomed.
Amen.
I tell you, I talk on the phone places at work, and people listen to me, but no one ever does anything.
Mm-hmm.
You need to search your heart to make sure you're born again, because that day is coming on us quickly.
The Lord's showing you how deceived the church is, brother, and how dead it is.
It's unbelievable.
And Temple Baptist Church gets this week in, week out, week in, week out. Imagine what's going on out here in these other places that don't have a clue.
Yeah.
That gives you an idea of where we are.
The other day, a guy says, you know, he's telling what his preacher was saying. He says, well, that's what Bounce has been talking about. So they all start coming to me going, what's going on? What's going on? I go, that's it. Sometimes my voice is raw by the time I'm back to work. People want to know. People are curious. But I tell them it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you have to be born again. How it's time to relax. We've got Russian troops in Syria, north of Israel.
Yes.
We've got Iranian troops north of Israel. We've got all the makings of Gog and Magog, Syria, that take place and
right.
The world's asleep.
Right.
Amen. Oh yeah. We'll cut.
You want to amuse me? When you watch TV, you're being amused.
Yeah.
Amused. That means without thought. Wake up. Start thinking. Start reading.
Amen.
Start reading your Bible. Read the back of chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, and you'll see America. We're there.
Amen. All right, Brother Silvius. We start about 7 or 8 after, okay? Give folks time to go to the bathroom and do everything. All right, see you Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning. God bless you.